looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Smitty was going to be ready for the next one. When Smoke hit the homer, I was like, get him ready if he can for Russell. But I mean, it wasn't going to put us in a bad situation the way Smitty's throwing the ball. But I felt like right there, you know what? I mean, I'll take him out right here and we move on.
So that's Alex Cora from Saturday talking about taking David Price out of that game against the Blue Jays in Toronto. A game the Red Sox ended up winning. Price got the victory. Red Sox get the win. They get the last two in that series. They go to 28-12 over 40 games, which is basically the quarter mile pole of the season. More on that shortly. But overall, Price goes out. He gets a win. He still walked three guys in 5 1/3. But all things considered, not bad. When guy missed a little bit of time, he goes out there, he wins the game. Not bad. You think all this stuff with Price is over, Murray?
No.
Jimmy Stewart, do you think all the stuff with David Price is over?
This is just the beginning.
So here's the part I don't get about the weekend. Two things. First of all, as it pertains to Price in particular and some of his comments at the end of last week, when he came out and said, I'm not going to miss another start the rest of the year, how does he know? He's promising us he's going to make every turn every 5 days now? David Price. Really, every 5 days David Price is going to start. Do you believe that?
Absolutely not.
As a Red Sox fan out there, are you buying that? Because I'm not. With all the nonsense that's gone on with this guy, how could you possibly rely on him at this stage? How could you? And so let me just tell you, I've said this publicly, I'll say it again. With David Price at this stage, here's what I do. I treat him like any other guy who is a middle to end of the rotation starter. Because right now on this team, he's at best number three. He's really maybe even number four or number five. Based on performance, that's what he is. And so you know what? I treat him like any other guy in that spot. He pitches poorly. I think about giving the ball to someone else. And if he stays where he is, which is relatively mediocre, at the end of the year, come playoff time, if I have to bump someone out of my rotation, and I do, because they all go with four-man rotations, then I stick him in the bullpen because I think he can help the Red Sox there. We all know they need help in the bullpen. 617-779-0985 is your number on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has opened up opened up the phones already. So we'll take your calls. Here's my second point on Price. And there isn't really any sound to illustrate this, so you're just going to have to take my word for it. But in the sixth inning on Saturday, Price went out there with a 4-1 lead. He got the first batter of the inning, and then he gave up, or let me rephrase, I take it back. The leadoff batter in that inning was Smoke, who homered. So that made the game 4-2 right out of the gate in the top of the sixth, bottom of the sixth. And then Price got the next batter. So he was allowed to face the batter after the home run. He got him out. I think it was Kevin Pillar. Russell Martin was up next, and someone ran onto the field. By that point, Carson Smith had already started to warm in the Red Sox bullpen. That's the sound we just played you from Alex Cora. And Cora himself even, I think, said that Smith was up a little later than they wanted, and the fan running onto the field gave them a little bit of time. But Price had just gotten the out. Cora then, after the delay on the field, Price had thrown a couple of warm-up pitches to stay loose while they were taking the I don't know if it was a streaker or what, but whoever it was ran on the field, interrupted play. Price threw a few pitches to stay loose, and then the fan who went on the field got taken away, and they resumed the game. That's when Cora went out to the mound to take out Price. And if you watch it, Jerry Remy and Dave O'Brien didn't make any sort of comment about it on the air. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think anyone picked up on it in any of the other broadcasts. But watching the game live, Price did not appear happy to come out of that game. And then he said after the game, that, you know, it was the first time he had been a part of something like that, and that it, you know, he was prepared to pitch. And I'll read you the exact quote. "I can't recall being on the mound and someone running out," Price said. And by running out, he means someone coming out of the stands. "I was ready to pitch, but that stuff happens." Now, I read a little deeper into this than most. I know many of you probably find that shocking. But the I don't think Price wanted to come out of the game. And when Cora asked him for the ball, Price looked pissed off. And I get to, given everything that has happened with David Price, I look at that and say, how could you possibly be pissed off? After everything the team has done to sort of accommodate you here in the last 4 weeks, going back to that game with the numb fingers against the Yankees, and then the game in Oakland where Cora left Price on the mound and he gave up a home run to Chris Davis to blow the game, then the allergies with the cut grass in Texas, the video games, the carpal tunnel syndrome, the missing another start against the Yankees. After all of that, the manager decides to take you out of a game and you get pissed off?
You surprised, though? He's a petulant child.
So again, Murray, maybe I'm reading into it, but I'm telling you, if you watch the exchange, Price was not happy to come out of that game. And I give Cora credit for taking him out and saying, you know what? I left him in too long the last time.
Well, if you're going to read too much into the situation, I feel like Cora pulled him because of what happened on the field. You have this streaker or whatever the hell it is, and he knows that Price, or probably feels like Price is a weak-minded individual, thinks this might affect him. You have a lull in the game. I'm going to pull him now before this thing unravels. And I don't blame him for that.
I don't blame him either. I don't because Price loses focus easily, and he crumbles. So, look, you took him out of, I don't know, as a fan, maybe you're willing to welcome back the guy with open arms. I am not. So that's where I want to start, 617-779-0985. There's an interesting lineup decision over at Fenway Park, too, which brings me to Cam, who's in Taunton. Cam, what do you got?
I'm gonna say to you what I tried to say to you and Lou on TV last night before you guys hung up on me. Swihart, I mean, I don't get, like, I know he's in the lineup tonight, but just, like, at this point, why is this guy on the roster? Because you're using a 24-man roster, basically, right now, which is going to hurt you in the long run because you got no speed on the bench if you need to steal late. And you traded Devin Marrero to keep this guy on the roster. I just looked it up last night. Devin Marrero has made one error all year. Meanwhile, you got a black hole at both third and second. Now, Pedroia's coming back soon to fix that at second. But late games, you have no one to put in the field for defense if you don't trust Devers. So what was the point of this at this point?
So, Cam, look, excellent question. Okay, excellent question. I wish I had an answer for you. To me, the only reason Swihart's on the roster is for trade bait. They couldn't send him back to the minors because he had to clear waivers and someone would have claimed him. They weren't going to release him. And they didn't want to trade him before the start of the year because they wanted to wait and see what their needs were because they don't have a ton of trade chips. And they have fewer now, given that Jay Groom has blown out his elbow and Michael Chavis has been popped for PEDs. So I don't have a problem with them keeping Swihart versus trading him before the year started. See, I don't look at it as Marrero or Swihart. I look at it as Marrero or Holt. And they elected to keep Brock Holt, which to me was a mistake. Okay, they could use Marrero right now, and they could use a righty bat off the bench against left-handed pitching, and Marrero would have given him that. But that is, and I said that at the time. That's not revisionist history. So I didn't like that from the get-go. But if you're going to keep Swihart on the team, don't you have to play him? I mean, this is a manager who has gone out of his way to accommodate players here in the early part of the year. He has played everyone. He gave guys days off in the early part of the year that didn't deserve them or didn't need them. And then he gets to Blake Swihart, and the catching situation stinks. They won't catch him. Fine. Maybe they think he's not good enough defensively, and they don't want to sacrifice the defense. I still think they could play him for six innings and then sub him out late in the game if they wanted to. They've opted not to. Okay, fine. Catcher's a big position. I get it. What about left field? You're telling me he can't play left field better than J.D. Martinez? Especially at Fenway Park where they are tonight? And Swihart is DHing against Manaea, who's the same guy who no-hit them earlier in the year, and Martinez is in left field. So I look at it and say, why isn't he in left field tonight? Jackie Bradley back on the bench again. So I don't have an answer for you on Swihart. If you're going to carry the guy and make a decision to carry him because you don't want to trade him, then play him. Play him more than you've played him. You've played 40 games. He's got 25 at-bats. That's a joke. So again, Swihart's in there tonight as a designated hitter. He is batting seventh. J.D. Martinez is in left. Hanley's at first. It's Sean Manaea, right? Is that his name? Sean Manaea?
Correct. He no-hit you and caused you a losing streak.
Okay, Sean Manaea is on the on the mound, left-hander. The Red Sox load up with the righties. Again, Swihart, it's his weaker side from the right side, but nonetheless, whatever. He will be the DH in the lineup tonight. 617-779-0985. As I mentioned, the Red Sox have played 40 games now. That is a quarter of the season. The Yankees have played 40 games. That is a quarter of the season. You know that they're 28-12. But how do they compare in some of the other areas? We'll give you that when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think base running wise, obviously we need to get better. Defensively, we were a little bit inconsistent for a stretch, but we do feel that positioning is where we want to be. The communication with our analytic team and the coaches has been great as far as that. There's certain times that I look, I'm like, Carlos looks at me, he's like, are you sure we're going to do this? I'm like, yeah, keep him there. Don't worry. And we're not as aggressive as other teams, but we are aggressive in certain situations, and we've been in the right place. Offensively, we've been good. Our bullpen, mixing and matching, has been where we want to be. People talk about walks. I talk about limiting damage.
So that's Alex Cora when asked about an overview for the first 40 games of the season with the Red Sox. And you'd say, you know, 40 games overall, 28-12. And he goes into a little detail there in some areas. But the areas of weakness, I think, are obvious. Base running, the bullpen in the late innings, those are the big ones. The other areas the Red Sox have done fine. 40 games in, they are 28-12. 40 games in, 28-12. They are on a 113 win pace. And they are dead even with the New York Yankees. Dead even. And so when I say dead even, boy, if you really dig in a little deeper, the numbers are striking. And I was on the baseball show on NBC Sports Boston last night. So I stole this graphic from them. Red Sox and Yankees comparison after the first 40 games. Okay, and again, this relates to David Price in some capacity. Because if you do regard him as your second best pitcher, two games that he missed, both against the Yankees, and you lost them both. And I'm not saying because he didn't pitch, but he wasn't able to pitch and you had to send someone else to the mound. You lost both of those games. Both teams, 28-12. Run differential. The Red Sox, plus 67. The Yankees, plus 65. Home runs. Boston, 54. New York, 57. So that big gap that the Yankees had in home runs last year in the first quarter of the season, you've erased it, effectively. Team ERA. This doesn't account for starters versus relievers. But overall, team ERA. Pitching. Boston 3.58, New York 3.66. Again, dead even. And then head-to-head, the Red Sox and Yankees are 3-3. The three-game series in Boston, the Red Sox took two. The three-game series in New York, the Yankees took two. A quarter of the season in, both teams on pace for 113 games, tied in head-to-head meetings, almost identical in run differential, home runs, and ERA. I mean, you want to talk about a rivalry or a division title that feels like it's going to be a barn burner? This is going to be it. Every game matters, and right now you're going neck and neck with these guys, and I don't think it's going to change. We'll get back to your calls. Mark is in a car. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what do you got?
Well, we got a center fielder that's having trouble hitting 200, and he's about 240 lifetime. I don't go to Paw Sox games, but I look at the box scores, and the center fielder down there hit 311 last year, and he's hitting about the same this year. So how come he's buried down there? What's wrong with him?
So you're talking about Ruzne Castillo, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, I know they paid a lot of money for him a few years ago, but I'm thinking, is it the fact that it was the old administration that signed them? They just don't want to know about them?
Well, so, Mark, I actually think it's a couple of things. One, he doesn't have any home runs this year. So Castillo is hitting .312, but no home runs and no RBI. So, again, take that. You know, it's only 33 at-bats, so make of that what you will. But he hasn't really produced a ton of runs here in the early part of the year. At least if I'm – no, this is lined up wrong. I take that back. He's got 17 RBI. Okay? So, but beyond that, here's the real reason why Ruzney Castillo's not on the big league roster. Because if the Red Sox add him, they have to add him to the 40-man roster. And if they do that, he goes on their payroll for 2018. And the luxury, that's going to put them in the luxury tax. He's a $10 million salary hit. He's got zero chance of getting on the big league roster. Zero. If someone's willing to take him, they'll trade him. But he's got no chance of playing in the big leagues, I don't think, unless somehow the Red Sox are able to clear money and create a spot for him, but I don't anticipate that. Peter's in Somerville. Peter, go ahead.
Hi, Maz. I know it's very early to ask something like this, but considering the fact that David Price could easily be more of an issue than he's worth, could you conceive of a scenario where it gets so bad that it's actually more worthwhile to sit him and just pay him rather than actually keep him in?
Sure. Yeah. Now, look, Peter, I don't think it's ideal, but if his performance is not good, and again, in this last game, it was fine. He gave up 2 runs in 5 1/3 innings. He's still walking too many guys. But I would say overall, if Price is mediocre, and I mean that by big league standards, not David Price standards, if David Price ends up being mediocre and he is a number 4 or 5 starter, they'll keep sending him out to the mound every 4 or 5 days, or 5 days. They will keep doing that. I don't think there's any question. The question then becomes, what if the performance slips? What if he gets to the point where Pomeranz is better, Eduardo Rodriguez is better, and they can get the same thing out of Brian Johnson, or they can get the same thing out of Steven Wright, or even Hector Velasquez or someone like that? Will they give David Price latitude because of the contract? And after all of this nonsense, I don't know how you could. Why would you? Why would you continue to give him latitude when he's playing video games, he's complaining about his allergies, he's getting tingling in his hands, or his hands and feet go numb, whatever it is, there's always a problem with this guy. So why would you go out of your way to accommodate a pain in the ass who's an end-of-the-rotation starter? I don't think you would. So you'd either come up with a phantom injury and stash him on the DL, or you stick him in the bullpen. And I think that's wildly unlikely. Okay, again, they're paying him a lot of money. But when they get to late in the season, let's say Eduardo Rodriguez has a better year and Drew Pomeranz has a better year. Somebody from the rotation is getting bounced and going to the bullpen. You're only carrying 4 starters in the playoffs. You're not carrying 5. So someone's getting squeezed out. Last October, Price was able to help you in the bullpen. So if you get to that stage, I'd stick him in the pen again. I wouldn't feel obligated to start him in a postseason game just because I'm paying him $31 million a year. And if it comes to that, I'm willing to bet the Red Sox would do the same thing. And when I say that, I mean if everyone else is equal or better, Price goes to the pen. All things being equal, Price, Eduardo Rodriguez, Pomeranz, 3 guys for 2 spots, I would stick Price in the bullpen. I don't know if they have the balls to do it, but I would. Jim's in a car. Jim, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Happy Monday, brother.
You too.
So when you compared the Yankees and the Sox, one thing I think is very important to remember, even though we have identical records, and we're a quarter of the way through the season, the Yankees have played 15 more home games than the Red Sox.
Okay, I heard it was 10, but go ahead.
I think it's, well, maybe I'm wrong, but it's significant, whatever that number is. So that bodes well for us moving forward. The point I wanted to make, I think based on history, Swihart can hit the ball. And I think you would agree with that, despite, I know he's not hitting for average, although he hasn't played much this year. I would get rid of Sandy Leone because you need a roster spot. I would get rid of him. I would put Swihart as the second catcher He would get some at-bats. If he gets at-bats, I think he hits. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
So, Jim, look, to me, you keep a young guy who's got upside. You would absolutely do that. They won't because they don't think Swihart can catch. I mean, clearly. Otherwise, he would have caught by now. So they don't think he can catch. He would have gotten Leon starts. He's better from the left side. Leon, you know, not that he's better from, he's better from the right side, but in terms of one of them complimenting Vasquez offensively, the way to do it is Leon hits from the left when he can get him in there. And you give Christian Vasquez a little bit of a blow and give him a break. But they don't believe clearly in Swihart's ability to handle the staff and play defense. They don't. So the question then becomes, can you find other ways to get him into the lineup? And one of the other ways would be to play Benintendi in center field, get Bradley out of there, and play Swihart in left field. Or do what they're doing tonight, which is play Ramirez in left field and get Swihart in as the DH. Now, the reason that hasn't happened is because they want to get a pass to Mitch Moreland, too. And Moreland helped win him a game. I guess it was Oakland earlier in the year when he hit a grand slam. But he also homered in his first at-bat against the Yankees last week. So Moreland has cooled off a little bit. But to me, there are places to get Swihart in the lineup. He's in there tonight. Maybe he does something and they give him another start. But even then, I would say he hasn't played consistently enough to get on any kind of roll. And then on the night they're playing him, he's batting from the right side, which is his weaker side. So it just feels like they're screwing the kid at every turn. Now, I don't know if Swihart can play or he can't. I think he can, based on his rookie season. He looks to me like he can hit. He was a first-round draft pick. But between what the Red Sox did to him, moving him to left field, the ankle injury out there, moving him back to behind the plate, he got hurt there. This spring, they talked about playing him at second base. They've done nothing but jerk the kid around. Since the day he got to the big leagues, they've jerked him around. It would just be nice to know before you could trade him if he could play and maybe help you. Because to me, there'd be good value for him in left field. If you missed it, the Red Sox won 2 out of 3 against the Jays over the weekend, but they didn't exactly play well. We'll count the ways when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sox looking for that breakaway hit. Here's the 1-0. Runners go. Here's the throw down to third. The tag. He got him. Vasquez is out. Bet safely into second. And Christian cut down on the toss by Maley.
Seems like a strange time to be going. Got a left-handed hitter at the plate. Wide open alley for Maley to throw. Ooh. And not good speed at second base. I don't get that strategy, really. First and second, nobody out. And you got Vasquez, who's not a good runner, trying to steal third base. Potential for a big inning.
If you watch the game on Saturday, you might have been slamming your head against the wall when that play happened. And before I get to that, let me just say, Rayon Rivera was on the line a minute ago. Rayon Rivera calls the show all the time. And he wanted to know, the comment line said something about the owner and whether or not he will go all in with the 2018 Red Sox. So, Ray, if you're still out there, call me back. 617-779-0985. And for that matter, we do have a couple of other lines open. 617-779-0985. But I want to speak with Ray specifically because I have a bone to pick. But that aside, the play we just played for you. Let me set the situation for you. Sixth inning, the Red Sox are leading the game 4-1, I believe it was, on Saturday against the Blue Jays. The Jays score to make it 4-2. Okay, so you now have a 4-2 game. Vasquez singles to lead off the inning, and Betts singles. Now you have first and second, nobody out, and you're up 4-2. Again, you're in the seventh inning now. They just scored. So you have an opportunity here to not only erase the run they scored, but maybe get more, blow the game open, which, with your bullpen, is not a bad strategy. Score as many runs as you can, and just prevent some of those guys in the eighth inning from torching that sucker. So, what do you think happens right then and there? Jimmy Stewart, Jim Murray, you got an idea? First and second, nobody out. Vasquez on second. Betts on first. Benintendi at the plate. They just closed a 4-2, nobody out. What would you do?
I know I wouldn't double steal.
Okay, well, the Red Sox did. Double steal, Vasquez is thrown out. There's your first out. Benintendi then strikes out. Hanley pops out, inning over, you don't score. All because you tried a stupid-ass double steal on Saturday afternoon with a guy running from second to third who's got lead in his ass in Christian Vasquez. Now, I found out later, Alex Cora did not call for the steal. Vasquez did it on his own, which makes it worse. So now, apparently, Cora spoke about this, but again, I wasn't able to find audio of it. The Red Sox have quote-unquote keys that the base runners can use, and when they see them, in other words, certain defensive alignments and situations where they can say, hell, you know what, now's a good time to go. If you feel it, go. But the manager doesn't mean when you're slow and there's nobody out in the seventh inning of a game you're leading 4-2. What made it worse with Vasquez on top of it, Benintendi was up at the plate, left-handed batter. The catcher had a clear throw to third. There was no right-handed batter in the box. He had a clear throw. He just fired it right down there and threw him out. Now, it went to replay, but Vasquez was out. And frankly, the Red Sox were lucky it went to replay. But I just look at that, and of all the stupid things I have seen on the baseball field, a chunky catcher trying to steal third base when you have nobody out in first and second in the seventh inning of a game that is within two runs might be one of the stupidest.
Well, it's one of those kind of things that I think you have to keep in the, you know, keep in the back of your mind going forward, because their stupidity of the base paths has continued. That was something that killed them last year, and it's going to be something that's eventually going to end up catching up with them in a bigger game down the road. This is an afterthought, I would think, for most Red Sox fans that watched this game, because it didn't end up biting them in the ass. But if you look at that inning, it should have been a big inning. They started with back-to-back singles from Vasquez, and then they screw it up like that and come out of that inning with nothing? Like, that's pathetic.
They won in spite of themselves, Murray, is what they did. And again, we should have played your base running open, because it's the same stupidity with this team. And that was Saturday. We didn't even bring this up from Friday night.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. High fly right field. Hernandez all the way to the track. He's at the wall, leaping up. It's off the top of the wall. Hanley churning into third. He goes right to the stop sign. Here's the throw home, the tag, and he is out at home. And that is out number three. Hanley sliding in hard at home plate, but tagged out. A shot off the top of the wall by J.D. Martinez.
So now that one should drive you a little bit crazy, too. Okay, so that game was from Friday night. Hanley Ramirez could have scored on a play at the plate. There was two outs. J.D. Martinez hit a ball that hit the top of the wall. Hanley didn't exactly hump it around the bases, then ran through a stop sign, and he should have been able to score, but didn't because he wasn't humping it around the bases. He gets thrown out of the plate. So the Red Sox give away an out there.
Did Brock Holt get thrown out in the game yesterday?
I don't remember, Jimmy. Again, I you know, I was watching.
I didn't watch yesterday.
I was watching mostly the Celtics yesterday. So, look, he probably did because they're the Red Sox, and that's what they do. And and those aren't the only mistakes they made over the weekend. We'll get to another one here in a minute. My buddy Ralph is in Cranston. Go, Ralph.
Hey, you know, I've seen dumb organizations with the way they manage their payrolls and everything else. But, you know, they make me laugh with the JBJ thing. You know, on the other station, too, you're hearing, well, they got to get him going. And what is he, the Energizer Bunny? You put him out there. If he doesn't hit, that's who he is. You had a guy, like you had Swihart years ago, you could have got something for. Coming into this season, Tony, he's a 230-something lifetime hitter in 3.5 years. He's 28. What did they think? What do they think? He's Mickey Mantle? This guy is probably what he is. Knowing how many guys are hitting free agency, starting with Kimbrel next year that they can't afford, they should have said, look, we got to stop being smart. Before this year, you could have got a couple of nice, maybe, prospects for JBJ. And you could have said, you know, that's what he is. He's Paul Blair with the Orioles years ago. You missed your chance to get rid of this guy and get good value. Now, I don't care whether you sit him down, Tony. I don't care what you. He's not that good of a hitter. He's not. He had one good run in 4 years. They make me laugh. Well, we got to jumpstart him. It makes no sense.
So, Ralph, look, you said he's a 240 hitter or whatever he is. And what I would tell you is that we did this math at the end of last week. He really has one good month a year. And if you take away his best month from last year, which was early in the year, And then his best month in 2016, which was in the middle of the year, you know what his career average is? And I did this before the weekend series, so now it's actually lower. 219. 219. His average drops 20 points if you take out just a couple of hot months. And don't tell me you can do that with every player in the big leagues, because you can't. Bradley's inconsistencies, I shouldn't even call them inconsistencies. He gets hot for a month. The rest of the time, offensively, he stinks. He stinks offensively. He gives you one good month a year, and that's it. The other 5 months, he's borderline useless in the batter's box. So I think the defense in center field is overrated. I have, I've told you before, you won World Series with Jacoby Ellsbury and Johnny Damon in center field. Neither one of them was a Gold Glover. So you tell me how important the defense is. I'm not saying you can have a butcher out there. I'm just telling you, if you have adequate defense in center field, you can get away with it. And I think Benintendi can give them adequate defense in center field. Now, there are some other spots you can't have bad defense. And you can't have it in center field either. You have to have good defense at shortstop, typically in the middle of the diamond. But again, center field, I think you can get away with a little bit, particularly at Fenway, because you really only have to worry about right center. Anything to left center, for the most part, is going to be off the wall. So you don't have to spend a lot of time sweating out left field. But since we're talking about defense, well, there was a mistake made by you-know-who, because he makes them all the time at third base. Go, Jimmy.
Offered broken back ground ball. Devers again. Scoops. High throw. He sailed that one into the stands.
Now, just when you say has good footwork, has terrible footwork on that throw. Just lets it fly.
Well, it's kind of been the story of his season defensively, hadn't it? Red Sox have made 20 errors. He's committed 10 of them.
I mean, think of that. The team has 20 errors at that stage. Rafael Devers made half of them. Half. And if you saw this error over the weekend, believe me when I tell you, what a horrendous throw. I've seen bad throws. He threw this one from like down by his hip and chucked the ball into the seats. One play after making a half-decent play at third. So like the Devers thing at third base, that's all over the place too. The defense at third stinks. The offense in center field stinks. The offense at catcher stinks. They have no eighth inning guy, and the payroll's $230 million. And they have a number two starter who feels like one of the great head cases in recent Red Sox history. And despite it all, they're 28-12. It's unbelievable. But I do think you have to take a look at Dave Dombrowski and how this roster is constructed and start to wonder how a team with that much money invested in it, and again, that does not include Ruzne Castillo, how a team invested with that much money is.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
In it has that many holes.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.